This episode of The Nate Darling Show is radio-friendly. All the funny, none of the cursing. The world is a big, stupid place.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
And they're here to make fun of it. This is The Nate Darling Show. Now, here's Nate and the gang.
I only have three words. Please stay, Obama. Now, I don't know who's won the election. It doesn't really matter. Please stay, Obama.
Yeah.
Come on.
There might be some new people in Congress. Would you come, you know?
Hey, come on. Hang out.
Hang out just for a little bit longer.
Hang out for a little bit. Hang out. Speaking of Obama, coming up later in the show, we're going to talk about him talking about dating his daughters. Because they're in dating age range. Not for you, you old perverts. Plus, the Apple toilet. Oh, the Apple toilet.
I don't even want to think about it.
What happens when a PR stunt goes horribly wrong? And when an angry mom is upset that her kid missed the bus?
Uh-oh.
What do you think happened? Oh, we'll look at all of those things.
Oops.
I'm predicting bad times. But before we get going, I already touched a little bit on my weekend plans, which include a video that we're recording, amongst other things. Everything is wedding. What am I doing this weekend? Wedding.
It's going to be the from now on, like what you say you're doing for the weekend.
It's true.
From here on out.
Absolutely true. So, and FYI, if you did not hear the last show, we will have new shows through the Monday before Thanksgiving, and then 3 weeks of not new shows. I will put shows up. They will be classic episodes of varying time frames. We will still do clean shows Wednesday and Friday, and uncensored ones for Monday. Those are going to be the real older throwback shows. So those are all coming up. But Kareem, anything exciting this weekend? Who are the Steelers losing to?
The Steelers actually play the Cowboys this weekend.
So they're losing to the Cowboys this weekend.
Yes. If Ben plays anywhere the way he played last week or this week, then yes, they're losing to the Cowboys.
I'll share this with Jason and everybody else because I just sent it to you, Kareem. I saw this on a sports parody site, but it's actually true. There's a photo of Donald Trump waving a terrible towel. And Kareem, explain what a terrible towel is.
A terrible towel is a yellow and black, black and gold Steelers towel. And it's called a terrible towel. It was named that by Myron Cope, who was the announcer for the Steelers for a very, very long time. And if you go to any stadium in the country where the Steelers are, you're probably going to see about 30-40% of the crowd waving a terrible towel.
Swing them around their head. They show excitement. There's a photo of Donald Trump swinging around a terrible towel with the caption, "This happened 27 days ago. The Steelers haven't won a single game since and have been outscored 78-48.
Yes. And what's funny is somebody else had posted that the Steelers hadn't won a game since Trump touched a terrible towel before you sent that to me. And I was like, oh, my God, that's what it is.
He cursed the team.
Yes. And I'm glad Ben has sense enough not to go out on the stump with that guy.
Yeah. Oh, sometimes it's better if athletes stay off the political thing. Although LeBron James campaigning hard for Hillary Clinton in Ohio.
Yeah.
So, he's become much more, he's won championships in two places. He doesn't care anymore. He's just going to speak his mind.
Yeah. But he puts his money in.
Absolutely.
You know, he puts his money and time into
right. That. Till the last little bit, LeBron's been very quiet.
Yeah.
He's put his money into things, but he hasn't said a whole lot about it. That's sort of changed.
But now he's like, hey, what are you going to do to me?
Right.
I'm LeBron James.
I'm a king here.
King Kong ain't got nothing on me.
Jason, this weekend, baby stuff?
Yeah.
It'll mostly.
It'll be Chris and I's first weekend alone with the baby, with the grandparents gone. So it'll be a fun poop-filled weekend, I'm sure. We'll have lots of poopy diapers.
Poop-filled is a terrible horror movie.
Yes. Oh, I did get invited to a house concert for Honeybee and the Culture Saturday.
I got invited to a house concert too, not for Saturday. Is this a new thing where people have concerts at their houses?
Yes.
It's not a new thing, but
I'm just starting to see it. And coming up on Monday's show, there's something else that's new that's really irritated the hell out of me. And that'll be my grievance for Monday. So get ready, America and the world, because it's coming. Jason, so you've got that. I've got my video. Let's move on. There's a new thing that I had not heard of. And no, I'm not talking about house concerts. It's the rise of the vanity vegan.
Oh, my God.
Which is allegedly ruining veganism for everyone. Because there's a certain type of vegan that does that thing. You know the one, the guy that inspired Lisa Simpson's tree hugger boyfriend, Jesse, or the vegans in Scott Pilgrim versus the World, the woman who Instagrams her 100-pound-per-week Whole Foods haul and sneers at vegetarians for being cop-outs.
Oh, God.
The problem isn't with veganism as a concept, but the fact that buying into it often seems to be as much about your social status as your diet, and about money. Because in the world of vanity veganism, it's about buying into the contest, one in which there's no limit on how much you can adjust your lifestyle in order to reduce the exploitation of animals. You avoid meat, then you avoid eggs and dairy, then leather. And that doesn't even touch on cosmetics and household items. In this version of veganism, everything in your day-to-day life must be compromised until you become, to use the tongue-in-cheek vegan term, a level 5 vegan, or you may not bother at all. But it's more about your own personal achievement than finding practical ways of reducing the suffering of animals. There's a reason that many vegan hashtags are so popular among travel Instagrammers, people that live in beautiful areas of London and have the time to attend protests on weekdays. Vanity veganism is a competitive way to broadcast your morality. Aha, now we've hit upon it.
Yes.
The I'm better than you crowd, but only if you have the time and money to do so. Veganism is not actually cheaper, but it is easier when money's no object. Any vegan on a budget will know that doing it on the cheap while avoiding malnourishment takes a lot of creativity and time, and the people that believe that animal products are always, by definition, more expensive have never been exposed to the world of cheap processed meats. So,
no.
I think it's a bigger social issue, too, because, I mean, we all have friends on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram who are, I mean, they love planting their flag in what they consider the moral high ground.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They make a day of it. Mm-hmm. They pack a lunch, they climb Mount Me all the way to the top, and plant a flag up there.
I am so much better than you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, a lot of them are liberals. A lot of them are. And it feeds into the people who might support someone like a Donald Trump or a really conservative candidate, because they're like, they feed into that thing that you, if you grew up in a small town or a rural area, the people, you just want to look at them and go, you think you're better than me. And then you want to punch them.
You think you're better than me. You think you're smarter than me. Like, no, you're not. Cause if the internet crashes tomorrow, and we have to eat, guess which one of us is going to be able to feed the rest of us?
Yeah, you ain't farming soy.
You sure not.
you're
not killing. Look, you're not killing anything to eat. I mean, you know, you can only eat so much dirt and grass.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
You're going to have to kill something.
and it might just be you.
Yeah.
I talked to my dad earlier tonight, and he was, I said, what's going on there? And, my cousin's kid was very excited because he got a 10-point buck.
Oh.
10-point buck's a big deal.
Now,
wow.
There's two different ways to do that. Is that 5 on each side?
Yes.
5 points on each side.
A 10-point buck has 5 on each side.
Okay.
Unless it's lopsided, but usually yes.
What, no, I've heard it like where people,
unless he's 6'5".
No. I've heard people like compare tier. like say, well, no, in this area you only count it like one side, and that equals that's how many are on both sides. Like, so, like they'll say, I caught a 4-point buck. Well, that would mean like it's
That would be an 8-point buck.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, it's a 10-point buck. Yeah. That's a big deer.
It's a big deer. No, yeah. that's huge.
That's a big deer. That's good eating, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For a while.
That's good eating for a while. So, but I know people, if I told that to them, they would be horrified.
Yes.
They would be absolutely horrified.
But they're going to cut it up and eat it, right? They're going to make venison steaks. I mean, like, there's a...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're probably going to mount it on the wall, too.
Yeah. They're going to mount the head and eat the rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not going to waste.
I don't have I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. Well, most logical thinking people don't, but there are people who do.
Yeah. Those are people that have never had to do anything really for themselves.
Well, they do have to climb to the top of Mount Me and put a flag up there and go, look at me.
Yes.
Look how great I am. I'm better than you. Look at you, you undeveloped person.
I would never kill an animal.
No, I would never harm an animal at any time.
Like, oh, you've never been hungry.
Yeah, you know what? They'd harm you. Hey. Deer will mess you up.
Oh, yeah.
Just go to YouTube. Go to YouTube and look. There will be deers messing people up. Meanwhile, in Cincinnati, a school bus full of horrified youngsters watched as a Cincinnati mother beat up their bus driver.
Oh, man.
After her daughter missed a ride to school. Oh, mom. Stop beating up my bus driver, mom.
That was just so ignorant. But you see me coming on the bus, though, right? Bus, though, right? You think you're giving me a hug, though, right? Now, if I punch you in your face, you're going to be sorry as hell. Get on the bus.
A bus full of terrified elementary students watched as mom Keisha Shannon attacks bus driver D'Amber Martin. In the heat of the moment, Martin says she went into defense mode.
I was thinking, oh, crap, the bus is running, you know, the kids are everywhere, but my life is in danger, you know, I'm in danger, and we're all in danger.
This photo shows how Shannon blocked the bus with her car on Mustang Drive in Westwood back in October. Officers say she pried the school bus doors open and boarded, upset with the driver because her daughter wasn't able to board the bus late. Two adults boarded the bus and tried to intervene. This attack goes on for several minutes on tape as students from St. Joseph Catholic screamed and cried. Martin says the irate mom pulled the keys out of the ignition and the recording stopped, but the fight didn't.
This is my right ear being bitten. She was able to scratch my face, leaving the bruises, poke my right eye, bust a blood vessel.
Shannon faces misdemeanor assault charges. Martin says she's been on light duty since the incident and has headaches and blurry vision. But her heart goes out to her students.
For them to have to see their bus driver go into a defense mode like that was, again, it was scary.
Now Martin looks forward to her day in court.
No bus driver should ever have to experience what I went through.
Really? You're going to get on the bus? Block with your car. Your kid, you had your car. Drive your kid to school and shut up, lady.
Exactly. Your kid was late.
Right.
Not the bus driver's fault. That's your fault.
Yeah, bus is on a schedule.
This is what's wrong with kids these days is bad parents like
mm-hmm.
this. That is exactly it.
Yeah. Yeah, the poor kids.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being a little kid? And your bus driver, the person that takes you to school every day, the person that you look up to your bus driver when you're a little kid.
So you're attacking a person who's in a seat with a seatbelt on, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And why are you biting the woman?
Poking her eye.
Who's biting people in the? Who's biting people ears? Does she think she's Mike Tyson?
Yeah, apparently.
Man, I can't even like.
Jason is horrified.
I can't like. It's so. It's so sad. Like, it's so, I can't even, man.
And
just,
the thing is, I know that kid has been late a lot.
A lot.
For her to leave her.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. That kid is habitually late because of the mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's because of the mom.
That kid is habitually late, which is why the bus driver left her.
Yeah. Yeah. So that happened in Cincinnati.
I hope they throw the book at her.
I'm having a feeling it's not going to be a good time.
No.
In court. All right. So, you know the shows where the interviewer is unbelievably personal with details about the interviewee's background, the first record they bought, their first dog's first favorite afternoon snack? What happens when it all goes terribly wrong, though, is WTF1 discovered. Dutch TV host RTL Late Night had Robbie Williams, he's a British pop star, on as a guest and gleefully told him that they knew he's a big fan of Formula One racing. Robbie had to let them down because he said, "I don't drive. Is that what this is?" And the host says, "You don't drive, but you do like Formula One." He goes, "No, I don't." And the host says, "You don't." Meanwhile, RTL Late Night had gotten a Formula One driver to record a message for Robbie. Dutch phenom Max Verstappen, the youngest winner the sport has ever seen.
Oh, wow.
Here's what that sounds like.
The last one. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I don't drive. Is that what it is?
You don't drive?
Yeah, I haven't.
But you do like Formula One?
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't.
You don't?
No.
You don't like Formula One?
No, who's been informing you of this? No.
Oh, I thought you liked Formula One. Maybe it was misinformed because of Supreme.
Unless you've got somebody that's a Formula One driver that's going to say hello to me in a message. In which case, I love Formula One. That's not.
Oh, in that case.
It's not happening, right?
Yes, it's happening.
Okay. Love Formula One. Is it really?
It's yeah, really.
Hey,
can we do something for him, you think?
I'm pretty sure we can, yeah?
What can we do?
I think we can invite him to a race.
Invite Robbie to a race? Would you like that?
I'm pretty sure he will like it. So, yeah, it would be cool if you could join us to a race.
Do you know he doesn't have a driver's license?
All right, I will drive him around in the car.
Okay, Robbie.
Yeah.
We'll see ya.
Listen,
okay.
I'm sure he's a lovely man, but I don't know who he is. Yeah, I know. Watch Formula One.
That's our best Formula One driver, this Max Verstappen.
Well, good luck to him and good luck to Holland.
And there's a black guy hosting a Dutch TV show. I think that's the most surprising thing about this whole thing.
Oh, hilarious.
That's really awkward.
I mean, I expect to see something like that on an Eric Andre show. Not on like actual TV show.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's
man.
Welcome to Robbie Williams, no driver's license, doesn't know what Formula One is.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, Vanity Vegans. Jason.
Oh, it's Tool.
Kareem.
Definitely Tool.
Yeah, I think we already established that. They're tools. Up next in Cool or Tool, Moms, Kareem.
Moms like this or Tool.
Jason.
Moms like that are Tool.
Anybody who refers to their mom singular as their moms, that lady is not cool. My first trip to LA. Fun story, little aside. I'm sitting in a Jack in the Box, and we've ordered, and my friend has gone up to pick it up. And this guy's like across the aisle from me. It's Easter Sunday. And he looks over at me, he starts striking up a conversation. He goes, "Yeah, man, it's Easter Sunday and my mom's threw me out. That's messed up, right?" And I was like, "Yeah. Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, and I'm here on Easter Sunday." And I go, "Me too. Me too."
Like, what did you do to get thrown out on Easter? You had to do something to get thrown out on
Easter. You know, I didn't really care. I just figured him bemoaning the fact that he was at the same place I was showed he lacked any empathy for anybody else. So I showed him none as well. And finally, in Cooler Tool, Robbie Williams, Jason.
He would have been a lot cooler if he would have said something like Formula. No. I prefer fresh milk instead of, yeah, but he's Tool.
Kareem?
He's a bit of a Tool.
He is, but for a British pop star, I thought he held it pretty well in check. Still kind of a Tool, though. He could have played along much better.
Yeah, once he realized what it was. You could have just like,
yeah. But he did have it pegged. He's like, no, I don't know what it is. I don't like it unless you've got a driver who's going to say something in a pre-taped thing to me.
Yeah.
So he's been on a lot of TV shows. He knows the hack things they do. So there's a lot of tool to go around there. I'm just saying.
Yeah, very much so.
And that's going to do it for Cool or Tool. All right, so this past weekend, Benedict? I know. I'm just having some real issues with my ability to speak, despite the fact that I
am a professionally trained radio DJ.
That's right. Dr. Strange himself took Apple's history of over-the-top marketing and occasionally underwhelming iterative design to task, and it was, well, funny. And it's already been removed. Sorry. You know, Cooler Tool, NBC, for removing this video.
Tool.
There we go.
Oh, and I watched the video, so yeah, it's definitely Tool.
Yeah. So, well, that makes that easy enough. All right. So President Obama, cool. I think we can all agree on that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's been everywhere lately. He ain't tripping now that his daughters are in the dating world, you know, since the Secret Service has his back. So says TMZ. Well, let's hear it straight from the prez himself, how he feels about his daughters entering the dating world.
What are you going to do when the girls start dating?
Oh, that happened. That happened. Oh, you know, the truth is I'm pretty relaxed about it for two reasons. One is Michelle, she's such a great example of how she carries herself, her self-esteem, not depending on boys to validate
right.
how you look or, you know, not letting yourself be judged by anything other than your character and intelligence. And hopefully I've been a good example in terms of how I've shown respect to my wife. So I think I don't worry about it because they're really solid, smart girls, young ladies now. And the other reason is because they've had Secret Service.
That is
there's
very
only
true.
So much these guys can do. These poor young men come by the house.
They have no idea.
You know what? No, they have an idea. I describe for them.
That terrible Muslim. How dare he show a good example? I don't know how people sit there and just crap on him.
I don't understand it.
I do not get it. I mean, Kareem, is it just flat out racism?
Yes.
I mean,
it has to be.
I cannot think of another reason why you would just either that or just blind partisanship. But I've seen some terrible things said about him and the First Lady online.
Yeah.
That have no basis in anything.
It's racism.
Mm. Sort of so, door creaking.
So remember when we had you probably don't remember, but we had a talk about one of Martin Luther King's speeches.
I remember that.
We've had many, actually.
Yeah, but it was a speech about when slaves, the trick that they played on white people after Reconstruction or during Reconstruction, which was to make you think that as long as you were better than a black person, then you were okay.
Mm.
That's a part of that. And for them to not be, for him to be in a place of power, for some white people, it just makes their heads explode. The idea is just too much. And all this, all the police shootings, all that stuff is about people being mad that he's the first black president. Or that he's black and he's president. That he's black and he has power. That's what all of that stuff is about.
Yeah, it's amazing how ridiculous it is.
And, you know, nobody wants to say that they're racist, so everybody says, oh, it's because he has bad policy. And then you ask him, well, which policy is bad? Oh, well, they can't tell you anything. They can't give you an answer. Like, I had a friend who defriended me from high school who unfriended me on Facebook because he kept posting crap about Hillary that wasn't true.
Right.
And I said, well, if you were buying a house that had a bad foundation and I knew it, wouldn't you want me to tell you? And he said, well, only if you were an expert on foundations or something like that. And I'm like, well, that is the dumbest thing I've heard in a long time. Because I wouldn't have to be an expert on foundations if I just happened to know that the house that you're by, like, I could have just been the person who used to live next to the house and be like, hey, the people that lived there moved because the foundation was bad.
Or I can see that the house leans on the back corner. Corner.
Yes.
It's a lot of visual factors that you could take in.
Yeah.
But he only wanted my opinion if I was an expert. Right. I was like, well, I've seen all the stuff you posted is wrong. We've already seen the whole clips of everything that you're posting, so we know that it's not true. So if you're not racist, then what is it?
Yeah.
I mean, if it's not racist, then what is it? Like, did you make more money? Do you have more money now than you had 8 years ago? Well, he doesn't have anything to do with that. Well, wait a second. If you blame him for everything, you got to give him credit for something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I mean,
you can't take
the stock market is 10,000 points higher than it was. So there's that.
And he was dealt a horrible hand. Like, he came into like probably one of the worst president, like situations that a president could come into. Like
everybody that I know that wants a job has a job.
For the most part. Yeah.
I'm
sure there are some exceptions somewhere.
Yes.
Gas prices are very reasonable.
Yes.
You know,
I mean, like I've said before, if you expected us to go back to a 2005, 2006 economy, that's not happening because we should have never had a 2006 economy.
Yeah, that was all fake.
All right. Well, and here it goes all the way up to, this is Trump a little bit before the election. And you might remember this when the president said, leave that Trump supporter alone. Well, the next day or 2 days later, Trump went out and told the story of what happened. But someone cut together that with what actually happened because they're both on video.
This is my grievance.
You have to go back and look and study and see what happened.
Now listen up. I'm serious. Listen up. You've got an older gentleman who is supporting his candidate. He's not doing nothing.
He was talking to the protesters, screaming at him, really screaming at him.
First of all, we live in a country that respects free speech.
By the way, if I spoke the way Obama spoke to that protester.
Second of all, it looks like maybe he might have served in our military, and we got to respect that.
They would say he became unhinged.
Third of all, he was elderly, and we got to respect our elders.
They never moved the camera, and he spent so much time screaming at this protester. And frankly, it was a disgrace.
And fourth of all, don't boo.
No! Boo! You have to go back and look and study.
So we looked, and the only people Obama was yelling at were the people giving the protester a hard time.
Yeah, he was telling the people that they're... They were there. Like, shut up.
And it's all the time stuff like that. And it's like, dude, what do you watch? Like, how are you? What alternate universe are you in that you that you're not seeing what's really going on?
I want to keep Obama. Can we keep Obama? Can we just repeal that amendment to the Constitution?
And he has like a 58%. Approval rating right now. It's like through the roof.
Yeah. Things are going okay. But again, the election was a few days ago. Who knows what's happened? America could just be off the map at this point. We don't know. Although probably the because this is an American web server that we're using to post and host this show, because America, if you can hear this show, we're probably okay no matter what's happened.
Yeah.
No matter probably what's okay. Happened, we're probably okay.
America.
Well, speaking of which, let's check in with that state that may actually be the deciding voice. This is the state that might decide who the president is.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
An ex-con bit off a chunk of his boyfriend's ear during an early morning spat at a Florida residence. That's according to cops who arrested the accused assailant. Bruce Tolbert, who's 31, and his beau of 2 years tangled early on a Friday at St. Petersburg at their home. During that encounter, Tolbert caused the victim permanent disfigurement by biting and severing his left ear.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of ear biting in this episode.
It is.
When St. Petersburg police responded to a 911 call, there was no witness to the incident. However, Officer Max McDonald reported a portion of the victim's left ear was missing. The severed chunk remained on the ground at the scene of the incident. Tolbert was subsequently arrested for aggravated domestic battery, booked into the county jail, being held in lieu of $50,000 in bond. He works for a seafood wholesaler and has been ordered by a judge to have no contact with the victim. He does have a rap sheet, of course. It includes multiple arrests and convictions. He was released from state prison back in October of 2014 after serving 7 years in custody for grand theft, robbery, and carjacking. Meanwhile, meet Joshua Ivy. He's a 27-year-old Tennessee man. Nude. Nude, I tell you. And carrying an unopened can of Coors Light. Picture it, if you will. He was arrested also early on a Friday after residents of a Florida beach community called 911. They were reporting a naked white male banging on their windows and doors.
Like they didn't know.
There's a white man banging on our windows and doors. Yes, Kareem?
It's not even funny anymore.
All right. When police arrived at a condominium complex in the Santa Rosa Beach area, they discovered Ivy was completely naked and appeared extremely intoxicated.
No.
His speech was slurred and could not recall how much booze he'd consumed, where he was staying, or how he'd gotten into the condominium complex.
He don't even know.
He did not. He did have an explanation for why he was pounding on doors, though. Police report notes that he was searching for someone to have sexual intercourse with.
Oh, man.
It was a 3:30 a.m. quest for poon, and it ended only with arrest for disorderly intoxication. He spent about 5 hours in custody before posting a $1,000 bond on a misdemeanor charge. They found his clothing in the condo parking lot, so he apparently showed up wearing clothes, and then ditched them.
Oh, man. What happened is he got to where his booty call was, and they're like, no, you're too drunk. And then he didn't have a ride to get home.
He's like, I got to put this in something.
Well, at least he brought a gift. It was an unopened can of Coors Light. Hey, I have a can of Coors Light. Can I put it in you? Not the can of Coors Light. No, that's silly.
It sounds like a bachelor party where it's like, where did Jason go? Where's Jason? Where'd he go? Back in the day.
I don't want to put the can of Coors Light in you. I want to put my penis in you. Don't be silly.
It's not a cozy.
No.
It's not a tea cozy?
Listen, you enjoy the Coors Light. It's unopened. I mean, I didn't even shake it. I just brought it for you. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Appropriately enough, we're going to end it with a song called Hot Mess.
Oh, well, there you go.
If you don't know, this is the Cobra Starship, and you're listening to the Nate Darling Show. Oh, by the way, there might be bad words in this song, so beep them yourself. You've been warned. Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.